Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Welcome to FAA's Managing Safety Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Loboda. I'm the editor-in-chief of Aviation for Women magazine, and I have here with me today Doug Stewart. Doug is the chairman of SAFE, which is the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. Doug, explain to us a little bit about SAFE.
Well, SAFE is an organization for all aviation educators. It's not specifically just for flight instructors. We deal with sim instructors, academia, K through 12 teachers, avionics and maintenance instructors. We certainly feel that we can increase the safety of the skies, the safety of aviation, by being inclusive of all realms of aviation education, that we certainly have information to share with each other to improve the safety of the skies. In essence, that's what we're about.
One of the new things you have here at Oshkosh this year, at EAA's Air Venture 2010, where we are, today is Tuesday, is this Flight Instructor Non-Owned Aircraft Liability Insurance Plan. What are the reasons why a flight instructor, from a safety standpoint, should even carry liability insurance? Doesn't the owner or the operator have that insurance, or the flight school?
Well, we would like to think that in a perfect world, yes. So often, I know as a flight instructor, I might go to a client and say, well, get a waiver of subrogation for me, please, before I fly with you. And the insurance company comes back and says, well, if it's a flight instructor, they should have their own insurance. We won't give the waiver. Other owners are sometimes reluctant to add an instructor onto their named pilot's policy. However, obviously, now an instructor, if they are not covered, might be tempted to take risks that they otherwise would not for fear. As an example, let's say we have to do a precautionary landing. Let's say that the weather is going down, or we've got a mechanical issue that is not a catastrophic failure yet, but we've lost an alternator. Night's coming on. We're in remote terrain, perhaps. The tendency to say, well, let's put it down in this field below us here, let's do an off-airport landing, and we might incur some damage to the aircraft, but we're going to walk away alive. The temptation to continue on would be great, because the instructor feels, well, if anything happens, the insurance company is going to come after me, because I don't have that waiver of subrogation. I'm not a named insured on the policy. We now are offering this insurance program for instructors, for non-owned aircraft, and it's a very wide-ranging policy. If you took a look at it, it's not only airplane single-engine land, airplane single-engine sea, gliders, kit planes, experimental planes. Typically, this has been unavailable for instructors prior to this. So we're offering an insurance program for instructors that really covers them in the vast majority of the aircraft that they might be providing instruction in.
That's terrific. And that waiver of subrogation, that really is a statement from the insurance company that we're not going to come after you for the cost.
Exactly. If an insurance company issues a waiver of subrogation, they're saying that they're not, in the event of an accident or an incident or a claim.
Any
kind of claim. In the event of a claim, if you have a waiver of subrogation, the insurance says, we're not going to come after you, the instructor. But the fact of the matter is, there are very few insurance carriers now that will offer that waiver of subrogation to a flight instructor. It just doesn't happen.
That's really discouraging, particularly for the independent flight instructor. But I think there are a lot of flight instructors who think that the FBO that they work for is going to take care of it. That's not true either, necessarily.
Absolutely not true. In many cases, I mean, there are certainly some flight schools, if you're working for that flight school per se, you might very well have these coverages. But if you're working as an independent contractor, typically you're not covered at all. And so your flight school isn't going to cover you. In the event of an accident, the flight school might very well come after the instructor in addition to the renter pilot. it's scary. And I know that there are many folks who will come into the safe tent, quite typically professional people who are ending one career and looking for a second career. And the career they're considering now is to be a flight instructor. They've already accumulated a fairly comfortable nest egg, and they're reluctant to get into instruction. And these people could be fantastic instructors because they're bringing in life experience. Comes liable because they can't get the insurance. And now that we can provide this insurance to them, this might encourage some of these people who could be a wonderful asset to aviation, because they'll be teaching because they want to teach, because they bring wonderful decision-making skills that they can teach. They now have the opportunity to do this rather than staying out of it for fear of losing everything they had built up prior to that point.
Doug Stewart, chairman of SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with FAA's Managing Safety.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Lavona and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back to FAA's Managing Safety. I am Amy Lavona, your host. I'm the editor-in-chief of Aviation for Women magazine, and I have here today at EAA Air Venture 2010, Doug Stewart, who is chairman of SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. Doug was telling me before a little bit about the reasons why insurance is so important for flight instructors, particularly carrying adequate insurance. And that was a decision-making process, which is, I need to save the life of the people on board the airplane, and then if I have the luxury, the airplane, whatever we can do to minimize damage. And that should be the logical thought process when facing an emergency. But without insurance, sometimes they don't make the right decision. Do you know of an example of when that might have happened?
I wish I could give you very specifics, Amy. But one can't help but wonder, when you read of a situation where weather is deteriorating, and a pilot and an instructor on board are both involved in a fatal accident, let alone any accident, but worst case, a fatal accident, where there was the opportunity to do a precautionary landing, and yet they continued on. How many times have there been, I mean, it just takes a visit to the NTSB records and a search, and I can't give you very specific instances. But I certainly know that I have read of these numerous times where a pilot with instructor on board is involved quite often in a fatal accident, fuel exhaustion. Okay? I mean, why do we continue on knowing that we're running that risk? Knowing that here's the opportunity to put it in a field. Here's an opportunity to put it on perhaps a road. I don't like roads because there are cars, there are fences, there are telephone wires, electric wires, yada, yada, yada. But there are opportunities to put this on the ground, perhaps incurring some damage to the aircraft, which is going to be a claim. And if the instructor doesn't have that coverage or doesn't have sufficient coverage, and they don't have that waiver of subrogation, they know, even though they don't have the deepest pocket, the insurance company's going to come after them. It becomes a no-brainer.
Well, there's one other thing that insurance gives you, and that's a defense, too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. There is another area that our insurance program does cover, which is for negligent instruction. There are times when, as instructors, perhaps we oversee something because his client, 5-10 years after receiving instruction, was involved in a stall spin accident, and they came after the instructor because in the logbook it just said stalls, but not and recoveries. Now we know full well this instructor didn't just teach how to stall the airplane. He obviously had to teach the recovery so that he can continue making money as a flight instructor. but he was sued, and successfully sued, by the lawyer of the deceased person. Our program allows now for the defense, for the possibility of what might be construed as negligent instruction. And as we know, unfortunately, because of the tort system within this country, because of the fact that we have a mentality of no one wants to accept responsibility for their own actions, and instead we sue everyone else, that an instructor who might very well have done an excellent job could very well be sued. Again, this sometimes keeps the potential great instructor from entering the field because of that fear.
Yeah, I know of an instance of an instructor who was sued just from a checkout in an airplane, and then the pilot went and flew the airplane onto a field that was rough and short and tried to take it back off again. And again, this was months later. And that flight instructor, the estate came back to him, and it cost him $6,000-$7,000 to defend himself just to prove that I did a thorough checkout in this airplane, and we did talk about runway lengths and capabilities for this airplane. And it's tough. It's tough. You feel like you need to document.
It's very tough. I had a very similar situation, Amy. I was working with a client in a tailwheel aircraft. They came to me and said they were having trouble with their wheel landings. And I said, well, I think I can help. And it took a lot of work. This was not an easy client, but we finally got there. And I made the mistake of saying, that's really great, let's do it one more time. And so we went around one more time, not a go around, we took off and flew the pattern and came around, and this gentleman had really put it all together really well. And on this last landing, just before we were ready to touch down and for him to come forward with the stick, he jammed the stick forward, we hit really hard, had a prop strike, back up into the air so high and with not sufficient runway remaining, we had to go around. I thought the engine was going to tear out of its mouth. But the bottom line was, I was petrified for about 2 months that the insurance company was going to come after me, because no matter how fast my reaction times would have been, there was no way I could have prevented this gentleman from jamming the stick forward instantaneously in an impulsive attitude. You know, the insurance protects us from that.
Well, Doug, I really appreciate your taking the time to explain just one of the many benefits of being a Safe Society of Aviation and Flight Educators member. And thanks again for listening to FAA Safety's Managing Safety Podcast.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.